Sport Cars, Super Late Models, Thunder Cars, Modifieds, World of Outlaws, ARCA, it's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, fame, short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
And now, here's your host, live from the Race Time Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Now, let's see if I can remember how to do this. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Race Drive Radio live tonight here on Sirius XM Channel 167, Canada Talks. So glad you can tune in tonight. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Junior in the studio. How about that for a weekend, kid? Man, what a wall-to-wall weekend of racing.
Yeah, it was. There was lots on TV, for sure, for us. This was one of my first weekends back home, just kind of chilling. it was nice to catch all the action, from south of the border. Obviously, lots of big things happening, both at Loudoun International Raceway, or Loudoun Motor Speedway, New Hampshire Motor Speedway there, and as well, of course, Richmond International Raceway with the Cup guys and the Xfinity cars as well. So, lots of great coverage this past weekend, and we got to kick back and watch a bunch of it.
Yeah, we sure did. Man, what a weekend! All in all, got to say there was some surprises in there. We've got a great guest lineup tonight. We're going to talk to some champions. We're going to talk to some winners. Man, we got a real mixed bag tonight for everybody. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be. And with the lineup that we've got coming up, basically everybody that we're going to talk to has stood in victory lane a bunch this year. So it's a pretty stout lineup. And I know heading into the playoff season here, there's going to be a bunch of cars rolling for some special events towards the end as well.
Yeah, lots of talk about the Roval coming up next weekend, right? The Roval is going to be...
I'm excited for that.
It's going to be big stuff, I believe.
I believe as well, too. You know, looking at all the test footage and stuff, not just the wrecking aspect. I mean, it's gonna be a mess rolling down into turn one and a few of the other corners as well for that race. 17 corners and a technical little road course that they've put together at Charlotte. Listening to all the feedback and what the drivers are saying, heading into the weekend, it gets me excited. It's something different.
It's the unknown. That's
exactly
what I really love about it.
Yes.
It's the unknown for everybody. And you can actually hear the excitement in the teams, right?
100%. And, it's just like why we get so excited to watch the Lucas Oil 250 or 200 at Daytona. Is it a 250 or 200?
It's 200.
The 200. The Lucas Oil 200, the ARCA race at Daytona every year. There's five guys with experience that usually race in that deal.
Right.
And then there's 35 that have never seen a racetrack bigger than a three-quarter mile, and that is, that's part of the excitement of rolling into the Lucas Oil 200, and everybody getting excited, rolling into something new, and the inexperience aspect usually leads to great racing. When
sure
you
does.
Change the format of racing, it's great, and when you change the racetrack underneath them, I get excited when they repave a racetrack and they don't change a whole lot. It's just new pavement. It always leads to a bunch of unknown scenarios and usually leads to great racing and great storylines as well. So this Roval deal, it's the racetrack has given the teams fits already. I believe that there's going to be a bunch of places where you're going to see some carnage this weekend. For fans that like seeing stuff get tore up, I think this is the weekend to watch. But when you put the Cup guys on a racetrack where they can't get away from each other, it's just excitement wall to wall every single time. And Martinsville is a prime example of that. This is not a purpose-built road course at all. This is a short track mixed with a super speedway with some high-speed zones, and the balance that's going to take to be fast at that joint is in the driver's right foot and how they get through the ends. And that's, you know, it puts it right back into the driver's hands. And when you do that, it usually provides some great racing. So I'm excited for it. And I know that everybody is you know, bouncing off the chip to see what happens.
Well, good time to put the mixer in the bowl, I believe. This is a perfect time for NASCAR to do this. And I know we're all excited for it. Let me tell you who we got coming on the show tonight, because we do have a stellar lineup. We're going to, in mere moments, we're going to have Cole Butcher with us. You've heard from Cole tons this year on Racetime Radio for good cause. The guy's done a lot of winning. He is the 2018 Parts for Trucks Tour champion. He is from Porter Lake, Nova Scotia. And you know what? Cole's going to join us tonight as the champion for this year. It's the second time he's the champion in the Pro Stock Tour. This year here, man, I'll tell you what. All he had to do, Junior, was take a green flag in a practice, and he was going to be the champion. Last week at the Dartmouth Dodge 200, he did everything that he needed to do. He damn near went out and won the race as well. So yeah. He ended up finishing third. But great day all in all for Cole Butcher. And I know we're excited to talk to him tonight.
Yeah, 100%. He had a great season, and you know, the kid's got it. He's just got it. And we say that every time we get off the air with him, or every time he's on the air. He's a crown jewel out there on that East Coast. And really, he's lit the lamp everywhere he's went. He's turned some great numbers outside of the Parts for Trucks Tour as well. But looking at what he's done in that tour, it's not an easy series to go out and win races.
No,
and,
man,
and it's not
tough.
An easy series to go out there and win championships. And with his age, you know, he's a very young lad still. He can get out there and get, he's a record setter for sure. And I think that 53 car is something that it's a staple now when you show up to the racetrack. And I think that, you know, looking at the season that he had next year, everybody better look out again.
Yeah, no kidding. It was Cole Butcher winning the war. He won the championship. The guy that won the fight on last Saturday night was Dylan Blankhorn, and we're going to hear from number 67, Dylan Blankhorn. We'll talk to him about that Dartmouth Dodge 200 win, but more currently, just last night, went to Victory Lane at Petty International Raceway, and he's the winner of the Mike Stevens Memorial Race, too, the fifth annual. So we'll be catching up with Big Bird here tonight on the show. We'll also talk to J.R. Fitzpatrick. Heard from J.R. a ton this year, rightfully so, done a bunch of winning. Now he is the APC champion, and we're going to catch up with him tonight. We'll also talk New Hampshire Motor Speedway and the NASCAR Pindy Series with the pole sitter. We got Cole on the pole. So Cole Powell is going to join us a little bit later in the show. And in that New Hampshire theme, what do you say we catch up with the K&N winner, a guy that we spoke to, maybe 3 weeks ago or so, right after the Riverside race. We got Brandon McReynolds going to join us. He won the K&N race.
Yeah, absolutely. Got the first win for Visconti Motorsports, and just a cool deal overall. He's not new to the Victory Lane circle in K&N, but it was a massive win on the East Coast for Brandon McReynolds, and looking forward to catching up with him.
Yeah, we got so much coming at you, but what do you say we get to the hotline right now? We bring in that first guest, and he is a champion in 2018. Let's welcome him in. We got Cole Butcher. What's going on, 53? How you doing?
Not much. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Hold my own, I guess you could say. So how about you? What did you do this weekend? Were you at Mike Stevens Memorial, or what did you do?
Yeah, we raced last night at the Mike Stevens Memorial. We finished seventh. The car wasn't the best in the race as it was during practice, but we came away with a decent finish, and we were able to capture that 5K. Those five races at Petty International Speedway.
Incredible. Cole, you had, looking back on it, I know your season's not over with yet, but the majority, the lion's share of it is. When you look back on it, man, you got to be happy with the season you've had.
Yeah, we had a really good start of the season, and it kept getting better, and then it kind of evened out at the end, and we didn't have as many wins at the end of it as we would hope, but we were there shiny, and that's all that matters.
How about challenges, Cole? Because, you know, over the course of a race season, you find everything, right? You end up, you know, you guys celebrate when you win, and, you know, tempers fly when you get mad. How about challenges this year? Did you meet many challenges that that you went at and went, man, I learned a ton this year about that?
Brakes this year, we fought brakes a lot this year. So we learned all of them, and we're still trying to figure them out. That's actually what happened to us. We just have to fight brakes, and I just couldn't get that happy medium. So we're going to work on that a little bit more. But we kind of just went back to what we knew last year, and then we also bought a new car in this year. So that was a challenge in itself. And, you know, we're working to get those bugs still taken out of them because they're set up for racing down Path North with 1070 tires and an AFCO shock. It's a little bit different. So we're still tweaking that. We're going to have a new one coming again next year for either myself or Jarrett. And I'm racing that car just to get ready for next season.
Cole, you mentioned that you fought brakes all season, and it seems like every fast team has got something that they, you know, circle on the calendar and they try to fix for the season coming up. Did you fight brakes with both your older car and your new car that you kind of unveiled halfway through the season? Is it both cars where you struggled with them, or is it mainly with the new car that you unloaded?
It's just the new car. I mean, I've never fought brakes in the last 6 years of myself of my career. I think we may have just a bad master or something. But we're going to get dialed in before Oxford Plains Speedway. And, you know, you don't really need brakes there, so it's probably not going to be a factor. But we'll do them really good before the Oxford, the final race at Oxford. Hopefully we have them back to where we're comfortable.
Yeah, and you're going to be heading to the Derby this year too, right? You still got lots of races coming up. What all do you have planned?
We're throwing around, I mean, Donnie doesn't know about it yet, but we're throwing around in Nashville with him. But, you know, they've been having some bad luck at the previous this week. They had trailer problems and they got into an accident in the feature. So, we'll have to talk to him a little bit. Then we're going to go to the Derby. And we'll just relax a little bit, enjoy our lives, and then get back into racing. Because, you know, you don't really stop racing over the winter. You're either Billy Curry. We'll do Derby. We may do the All-American 400, but that's not 100% sure yet. And then we'll go to Oxford, but, you know, we're going to enjoy ourselves. We're going to enjoy the off time until then.
Well, there won't be much off time, I can guarantee you. Not with you guys. You always seem to find something to do. If you're not inside that super, you're jumped into a legend or something. You're always wanting to go in circles.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I like racing. I love the legend. Been in one this year, but you know, that might change next year. Shelby did a great job in that legend car this year. He was able to win the Marathon League Legend Championship, finished third in the Friday night series. So he did good with that. But you know, I just got a new house, so I'd like to build a garage before the snow flies, and then I'll be able to bring some cars home. But you know, that's what we're working on right now.
Yeah, good stuff. Man, you got to put it out to your folks too. I know I was talking with your dad at the end of the Dartmouth Dodge 200, caught up with him over at the Quality Inn. They stopped in for a moment, and I'll tell you what, you got some cool parents there. Talk about support and you know, backing what you guys do as a unit. You Butcher family, I'll tell you what, you guys have got it all happening.
Yeah, we do a lot for the sport. You know, all my guys, David, James, Greg, Pixie, Nancy, Mom, Dad, Olivia, they all put 100% into the sport and to me. We wouldn't be able to do what we do without them. They're all there week in and week out after they're done working, they're ready at the race and ready for the following week. So, you know, they're a great team. You can't have great success.
Incredible. Man, we got to get you. I'm telling you what, I when I look at you, Cole, I can't help but notice and want to see you in one of those, you know, a truck series race, or, you know, get you into, you know, an ARCA race or something. Man, Cole, you would shine. I know you will. One day you got to do that. Is it on the docket? Is it a plan for down the road someday?
You know, me and Dad threw around the idea of maybe doing something next year, but we're going to get on the ball with that. That didn't happen. It's costly, you know, being up in Canada with the insurance and everything. It's not as easy as we'd have to find some big sponsors, and we're in the process of trying to do something like that, but it hasn't been easy. We've been 100% serious on it yet, because we're trying to get through our series and trying to take care of the company, because work comes before play. But we threw around the idea it may happen next year, but if it doesn't, I mean, it'd be awesome if it did happen, but it'd be
Yeah, well, you know what? You got a plan, and I know you guys are all about it. But, man, what a season. And trust me when I say I don't want to see you out of a pro stock car. You guys do a phenomenal job. All of the teams do. Some of the best racing possible takes place in that Maritime Pro Stock Tour. And
I tell you what, there's 30 other guys that want to see him out of a pro stock car.
yeah, there would be a whole pile of them.
There's, if you just go down the list, from Cole Butcher down, everybody wants to see him out of a pro stock car. I'm just kidding, man.
Incredible. But it's been great catching up with you and having you all season long. And I know we look forward to more as the rest of the season unfolds, so to speak, as those plans all start coming together, and I know you still got lots more results to do. How about the Kawaki program? When does that all wrap up?
I believe it's the end of October. I was just going to talk to you about that. We've been doing a lot of community service lately, and giving back to our community and what such. And our results have been pretty good this year. I know all of our competition, I've been Brett and Molly and Justin, they've all been doing really good. So, we're keeping on our toes and we're paying attention to what's going on. But, the program's really good. And I honestly recommend anybody to be a part of it for the 2019 season. I've learned a lot from it. And I've taken a lot from it.
Well, and you've done a tremendous job with it as well. Super stuff. Man, I hope things come together for you with that. And we'll definitely keep our eyes peeled to find out how it all shakes out. But this has been great catching up with you, bud. We really appreciate the time.
Oh, I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you very much.
You bet. You have a good one. Say hi to everybody out there, and we'll catch you real soon.
All right, well,
you bet. That's Cole Butcher, driver of the 53, your 2018 Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour Champion. Cool stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Really cool. And sorry about his connection there. It was kind of blipping in and out there. It sounded like a little bit of cell interference there. But, just cool to catch up with Cole and the entire 53 camp. His brother, really came on towards the end of the year as well.
Sure did.
And he mentioned Shelby in the 53 Legends car, and right before the Pinty's race, I got a chance to watch the 53, and he ran into a little bit of troubles getting up into the fence, and did a little bit of damage during that race, on the Sunday of the NASCAR Pinty's race. But I got a chance to sit up in the grandstands and take that Legends race in, and that's another wheel man.
So, sure is.
When you look at the lineup, he's got those guys have got some major talent being brewed out of that Butcher camp.
They do, and they're. I'll tell you what. Speaking with Cole's dad, and he's a great guy. We talked. This year was different for Cole. He's always been hands on with the race car and trying to do whatever he can with it. Right.
Yep.
But his dad told me, he said, Cole took it to a brand new level this year.
Yeah.
He said every waking moment that guy was not at work, he was under the hood of that race car or doing something with the race car. He said it was really cool to watch and to be part of, but to see Cole Butcher, and it was a different season for him altogether. Becoming even more involved, and that's what you got to be, right?
Yeah, 100%. And when you look at the evolution of a young race car driver who's trying to get there and trying to grow his career, there's a list a mile long of people who work hard on their race cars, and it's but there's a very short list of people who work on their race cars and make them better. And yeah, and yeah, and that is, it's a true statement in the sport. You know, it's easy to work hard on race cars, but it's hard to make them go better. And Cole Butcher, you can tell just by talking to him, he's very, very smart, and very thorough on the setup side. You know, people should be taking notes on how he does it, because, I tell you what, he's every time that car hit the racetrack, it basically lit the lamp, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was right up front.
It was a fast car, no doubt at all. Okay, we're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to keep it on the East Coast for the next guest. He's a guy that went to Victory Lane last night, Petty International Raceway, and the Mike Stevens Memorial Race, the fifth annual. He won it. And we're going to catch up with Dylan Blankhorn right after this. Stay with us.
Hey, it's Robbie Gordon from Speed Energy and Stadium Super Trucks here in Canada, and you're listening to Race Time Radio on Sirius XM 167.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam.
If you stop for 1 minute and think that you're going to stay ahead, you are absolutely kidding yourself, because everybody in that garage is trying to catch up. So as a team, when you have an advantage, you have to make sure that you motivate your people and make sure you reiterate to your people, we have to keep pushing forward, because if you sit on your hands, you will get left behind in this deal in about 6 weeks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam, heard exclusively on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Rebellion became the foundation of the first generation of classic rock.
We must be in heaven, man!
Come on!
On Classic Vinyl, Channel 26.
On Channel 25, Classic Rewind brings you the second generation.
Let the good times roll.
Classic rock.
From the vinyl
to cassette era.
Hear it.
Commercial free.
On Sirius XM.
Baseball.
Baseball.
Hear every pitch of the 2018 season on SiriusXM. Add your hometown call with dedicated team channels on the SiriusXM app. Plus, expert analysis 24/7 on MLB Network Radio.
This is the type of a deal that wins championships.
Major League Baseball on SiriusXM and MLB Network Radio. Sirius 209, XM 89, and the SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
It's Racetime Radio.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight here on SiriusXM Channel 167, or maybe, just maybe now it's Wednesday and you're tuned in on XFM in Andy Ganish. Welcome to you, or maybe the PerformanceMotorsportNetwork.com. There's so many different ways to get Racetime Radio, and we appreciate everybody's efforts in grabbing the show and listening to it, whether you're downloading it on iTunes or however you get the show. Welcome aboard. Our next guest is all primed and ready to go. He is coming off another big win. This pretty well happens weekly with this guy. He drives the number 67 on Canada's East Coast out in Nova Scotia, and his name is Dylan Blankhorn. He's with us now. What's going on there, Dill Meister? How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Another successful race, buddy. Good for you. You put another one together.
I think we're still all really pumped up about it. It's definitely Mike Stevens Memorial, definitely one of the ones we wanted to check off the list. It's just pretty neat to have the car obviously that good and lead as many laps as we did. I think we're still celebrating.
Well, you are still celebrating. Don't try to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. I just seen a picture an hour ago of you on a pontoon boat holding the cold beer with your trophy beside you. So I know you're getting after it out there.
Yeah, we decided to a sponsor that he couldn't make the race, so Tony Mason, Quinn Florin, were up here on the barbecue. We ended up going on the pontoon boat. I took the trophy with us. So having a good time, just like I said, still celebrating. Good way to end the season.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've kind of been celebrating the last 3 weeks.
Well, I guess so. You keep winning races, man. The Dartmouth Dodge 200 was a super night for you. You pulled that one out, Dylan. Let's talk about that, and then we're going to get into this Mike Stevens race. But let's back it up. Just a week ago in that 200, you really had your work cut out for you, man. There was a lot of fast cars there that night.
No, yeah, for sure. We showed up. We were still, you know, struggling with the car a little bit. Obviously, we came off the win at Riverside, and just the flat track stuff. Just we always worked on brakes. I mean, Cole mentioned earlier, you know, brakes up on there. Definitely a big part of these cars, and I think we finally found a few things that definitely helped the car. You kind of get through the center of the corner. I mean, if you can't enter the corner properly, you know, you're never going to get through the corner. So we changed a few things. Just kind of back to what we know. And that's all it took. It's just, there's so, you know, there's 20, 25 things you can change on these things. If one's messed up, the competition level's so fierce now, it's hard. And when you get messed up, it's definitely frustrating. Obviously, everyone stayed behind us. And we got the car good again. And we just kind of went into the race knowing Cole kind of had it sewed up. So we took everything we had and come out on top.
Man, you've had a season, I'll tell you. Like, in life in general, Dylan, you went through a big change this year. You're a business owner now. You've got your race car. You've got all the stuff going on. And to try and balance absolutely everything, I got to take my hat off to you, man. You did it. You not only had success, but you're making it all work. And that's awesome to see.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's what you're talking about that, you know, we're trying to get together now for all summer, you know, get on the boat and finally, you know, last race of the year, you know, got the steaks and the barbecue, but having a cold beverage. But, yeah, it's been definitely a busy year. You know, we started off the year strong. Kind of the race car, honestly, got put in the back burner a little bit. You know, the crew chief, he works on it. Man, it seems like every night we're working that thing, especially when we struggle a little bit. You know, he always stayed behind us, never gave up. I mean, that's what it takes. We've got a great group of guys that go to the racetrack. They never gave up. It's all about having fun too, right? It's a great tour, but it's we've got all the right people in place to even when you have those bad nights, it's in the night, it's still fun, right?
Yeah, 100%. Dylan, it's easy to look back and take a look at your season and call it a success. What do you give it on a grade perspective? Was it an A? Was it a B? What was it on a grade perspective? And where can you do better for next year?
Well, with everything going on, it's an A plus for us.
Cool.
You know, we won a bunch of races. Everyone knows, I mean, we were there contending, even if we didn't win. We had lots of fun doing it. I wouldn't change a thing. I mean, yeah, other than, you know, I wish I had a little bit more time to work in the car there kind of mid-season, but other than that, I mean, everyone worked their hearts out. Obviously, at the end of the year, you want to, you know, get that big crown, but come up close. You know, congratulations to Cole again. He's consistent, right? I seen that guy knock the front end off the car and still, you know, go in the pits and tear body panels off and look in my mirror 10 laps later and he's, you know, running third or fourth. So it's hard to beat guys, you know, when they're showing up that good. So,
well, that's, hey, Dylan, that's what you guys do to one another. You know that, right? That's the reason why he is where he is because you are where you are. The two of you guys feed off one another.
Oh, it's tough. It's definitely, you know, we had a lot of ups. a lot of good races over the last few years. Definitely what I like to see, and I think that's what they want to see and everyone else.
Well, I can honestly say, out of all the races I've watched a lot of races, okay? There's a lot of snow on this roof. I've seen a lot of races, but I cannot stand back and say two names, like I can say you guys, Dylan Blankhorn and Cole Butcher, side by side. I have said that phrase more often in my lifetime with you guys. You guys are side by side all the time whenever you're on the track.
Yeah, it's just you know, two totally different race cars. I think our driving styles are a lot alike, and it's just cool, you know. Always trying to one up each other. I find it keeps you definitely on your toes. You know, you just want to keep trying to be better and better because you know if you miss it or you know if you get behind, especially like we did this year, they're going to roll past you. They're winning races, and of course I think we showed it this September, you know, once you start winning, the momentum just, you know, keeps carrying you. So we don't let them get too far ahead, but they definitely had a good year. So I don't know, it's just the last few weeks though were definitely a big booster for it's a long winter down this way, so we're gonna go back to the drawing board and obviously got to keep getting better because, you know, be better too.
Well, and you're not going to hang it up. I know in one of your post-race interviews, I don't know whether it was last week or week before, you had alluded to you may be going on to a part-time basis as opposed to a full-time tear next year. And I was saying to the guys on the broadcast crew after we were done, I said, he can't do that. He cannot do that. Dylan Blankhorn, you need to run full tilt. We need you in the series. But I'll tell you what, the fans would definitely miss you being in that field. You need to be in there, and I can't see you doing that, Dill, until you get that championship, and I know it's right there.
Yeah, Tony and I were talking about that. It'd be nice. It's a long old season. Tony's definitely on board again. You guys know yourselves, just a long old season.
Yes, it is.
It takes a lot of time. Obviously, we have the people behind us to do it. It's just sometimes you got to put things in front of racing. So we definitely got to sit down and decide what we're going to do. Well, it'd be nice. I mean, just like days like today, it's nice to get into stuff. It'd be nice to maybe 10 races or 11 races.
Yeah.
But, 13, 14 races, it's a lot.
Yeah, it is. It's a tough season. There's no doubt. And doing it the way you guys do it, Dylan, you go at it wholeheartedly. You leave no stone unturned. It's not like you show up to the racetrack saying, okay, well, I was busy this week, so we're going to go at this half-hearted. You've never done that. You guys always go at it full tilt, and that's why you're a winner. The Mike Stevens Memorial, talk to us about that race this weekend. Mikey was a great guy. We loved Mike. He's four forever. We all miss him. It must have felt pretty good to go out there and win his race.
Yeah, to win that race is pretty special to me. Mike was an amazing guy. He helped me out a lot. The whole family, really. It's just a stoked group of people. And to win that race, I didn't want to stop doing donuts. I was pretty pumped up. And we showed up. We showed up good. Cole was real good first practice. We struggled a lot. We showed up with the same package we've been running there. Obviously, with a few tweaks there, we figured out halfway through the season. And we were good. We decided, obviously, it's a lot of guys were on good chocks. This new car, Betty, we never had her on good chocks yet, so we just need tour shocks. I didn't know. I knew the good shocks were going to be better on the short runs, and I figured, you know, we'd just kind of stick around and be there at the end and try to save tires. I didn't know we were going to be that good right off the get-go. So, you know, 50, 60 laps into this, we put tires in the thing and we're in the top five. I think we got a shot at it. I think the 91 car, he was real good. He got tangled up there into the lap car. That was unfortunate. So the 53 car, he struggled a little bit, which I was surprised. I thought, you know, it'd be me and him up front battling for the win. But, I mean, it worked out for us. So, just, man, victory lane, it's just, it was pretty special, you know. It's just a fifth one. I mean, we come close before, and we ran second and third. And last year, you know, we ran half decent with Lonnie's car, and we managed to control that. But just the momentum, I think, the last two races, obviously we had to go, and we didn't change anything. We were short a few people, but everyone stepped up. There was a few late nights in the shop, preparing everything. Obviously, it worked out, so it was a pretty special event.
Well, you got to love it when a plan comes together and you can go out there and win like you've been doing, man. Three-race terror, and you touched them all. Does this now stick a fork in the season? Is this it for Dylan Blankhorn? Do you put it in mothballs and get it ready for next year, or do you still got more plans for yet 2018?
It's getting pretty cold down here. Yeah, I think we're going to put her in the garage and relax a little bit and get some work done and before the snow flies and work on next year.
It's demo derby season too, right?
We haven't even had time to gear up demo cars this year. We just ran one.
Right on.
Well, you've been too busy winning. No more wrecking. You just want to win.
Yeah, that works for me. I mean, that don't get old.
Never does. Still, you have a great off-season. I know we'll catch up with you lots through the off-season as the plans all start unfolding for 2019. And I sure hope, buddy, that we get a chance to see you on a full-time basis. If there's a will, I know there will be a way, but we sure do hope that we're going to see you full tilt.
For sure. Thanks for having me. I look forward to next year already, but we'll just kind of have to sit down and decide what we're going to do here.
I hear every word you're saying, bud, and you guys will come up with the right decision. I know you will. Good luck to you the rest of the way, and we thank you so much for your time tonight.
For sure. Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet. That's Dylan Blankhorn. What a guy. What a competitor. That guy is magic behind the wheel.
Yeah, he is. And just so aggressive and gets after it for sure. How about Black Betty? At the beginning of the year, I remember talking to him and it was just before the first race that they were unloading the new car. He said he didn't know how it could be any better than the car that they had previous. But look at that. Towards the end of the season, they got everything ironed out and that thing just came to life. And hats off to them. It sounds like he's having a lot of fun, too. I wish I was on a boat right now.
Yeah, no kidding. The boats were flying around here yesterday.
I know, they were. And the weather's still decent here.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Thank goodness.
Not too bad.
It's better than the West Coast.
It sure is.
It's, you know, you drive that line halfway across and you jump onto that left side of Canada right now, and she's a little nippy out there.
A little bit chilly. They can have that out there.
Yep.
We still need a couple more. Like, give me a month and a half.
That's
just
right.
Give me 1.5 months.
Of 30 plus.
Yep, that
not,
would
not
be
that
fun.
We're asking too much.
No, we don't want to ask too much. Okay, we're going to hit another quick break. We got lots more to come. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Tony Stewart, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels,
the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. K&K Insurance, insuring the world's fun. Dawson Dental Centers, get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
What can I do for you?
My name is Elizabeth Cook. I have a show called Apron Strings over in Outlaw Country.
Okay.
Playing a lot of old outlaw country music, cool. A lot of new outlaw country music. Cool. We talk about all kinds of important things like how to get gum out of the pillowcase.
Shoot, I don't...
Where do Venus flytraps come from? Do you need a chakra cleanse?
A what?
This is your formal invitation to listen to me, Elizabeth Cook, 10 to 2 p.m. weekdays on Outlaw Country. It's Channel 60 and streaming on the new and improved SiriusXM app.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam.
If you stop for 1 minute and think that you're going to stay ahead, you are absolutely kidding yourself, because everybody in that garage is trying to catch up. So as a team, when you have an advantage, you have to make sure that you motivate your people and make sure you reiterate to your people, we have to keep pushing forward, because if you sit on your hands, you will get left behind in this deal in about 6 weeks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam. Heard exclusively on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Racetime Radio. Only on SiriusXM 167. We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Racetime Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
Morning, dickhead.
Hello, moron.
Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. Those guys ended up staying in there one more week. They had to stay in there one more week. That right, makes me laugh every time I hear
it
that.
It does. How can it not? It's Grumpy Old Men. Yeah. Is it Grumpy Your Old Men, or is that Grumpy Old Men?
No. Well, there was two movies,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Which
Grumpy,
one was it?
Grumpy Old Men was the first one, and Grumpy Your Old Men was the second one.
But which one is that clip from?
Both. It was from both of them.
They definitely say both.
Yeah. But. Yeah. Too much fun. So we got a little bit of time here. So if you want to call in, you can do that. 888-572-2384 is the hotline number. 888-572-2384. And we'll hear what's on your mind. But we do have a little bit of time here.
I did get a tweet.
Did you?
From Steve Trendle.
Steve-o.
He said, I can't chat this week. But let's plan next week to talk about my first championship in 16 years in the Vintage Mods.
Got to love that.
Steve Trendle. I remember about halfway through the season, he blew up his motor.
Yes.
And he said,
I'm done.
I'm not going to be able to make it.
Yep.
We're not going to have enough money to buy another motor. And look at that. He ends up going out and winning his first championship in 16 years.
Tell me he didn't win best appearing car, too.
Absolutely.
That thing looks amazing,
it
doesn't
does.
It?
Every single time it hits the racetrack.
Look him up
stink.
On Twitter. Look him up on Twitter.
Steve Trendle 57.
Yeah, Steve Trendle 57. Have a look at his race car, and you tell me that isn't one of the most gorgeous race cars you've ever seen.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
But big congratulations to him and his whole camp over there. You know, obviously they dig hard, and they went through some major adversity this summer, and ended up pulling out the W on the championship side.
Good deal. Gotta love it.
Lots to talk about over the winter.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and we'll have Steve-O on here.
Yep, for sure.
We'll have him talking Canadian vintage modifieds. Good bunch of guys. Wonder how Carly made out this year.
I don't know.
Johnny Carly.
Don't know. I never got a chance.
The nuclear pumpkin.
He's not that anymore. He used to be.
Yeah, but that's what he was.
Yeah, he used to be.
The nuclear pumpkin.
He was a large guy, and he wore a bright orange fire suit.
He did.
And he had an orange helmet, too, didn't he?
He had an orange car.
Yeah, orange car, orange helmet. Yeah, the nuclear pumpkin.
Yep.
A lot of fun. I never got a chance to see one vintage modified race this summer.
Neither did I.
No.
Didn't see one.
Didn't catch it.
Well, this time of the year, of course, things are wrapping up, right?
Like
things
are starting to wind down. Now at Sunset Speedway.
Yeah, Sunset Speedway is green as we speak.
Yep, the Velocity 250 weekend just rocking and rolling over there.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that all shook out.
Yes, well, yep. Definitely. Yep. Lots of iron over there.
Even though it's Velocity Weekend, is it still a NASCAR points weekend?
I don't believe so.
I think points they wrapped up.
Yeah, I believe they wrapped up. Not 100% sure on that one, but I believe they wrapped up. This is usually just a invitational weekend.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
We did it the one year. We did it live on Race Time, and man, what a great time.
Yeah, definitely.
Great time.
I seen an interesting photo from over there. Mike Schmidt posted an 89C modified.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So
now he's got that's got to be
a Chenoweth modified, right?
Wouldn't it be?
It can't be a camera. I don't know what it is, but it's a big LRR sticker on the side, and it was Matt's modified. It looked like the number two, but I don't know what the story is there.
That wouldn't surprise me with Mike Schmidt.
No.
Mike Schmidt has got one of everything, I believe.
Well,
just about.
Yeah, definitely.
Just about, and he's got quality teams all the way around.
For sure.
Yeah. We'll pull that up one night. We'll find out how Mike Schmidt did with all of his race teams.
That would be a long show.
And he will be getting ready now for Snowcross, because that all starts up. CSRA, and anybody that knows London Recreational or anybody that follows Snowcross knows that Mike will be like elbow deep, guaranteed, in getting all the sleds prepared and getting everything all ready.
This is kind of the crossover time for them right now, because they've got, you know, three playoff races, the Velocity Weekend, and then, of course, they've got Frostfest, Frostoberfest.
That's
right. Now,
that's still coming up,
which is
right?
London Recreational sponsored. And that's coming up in not next weekend, the weekend after.
I wonder, is this Applefest weekend, or is that still to come next weekend?
Don't know.
I should have maybe looked that up. Brighton Speedway, if it isn't this weekend, it will be next, and you got to check that out. If you're anywhere close to Brighton, that Applefest weekend is a hoot.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a really good time. And Humberstone has a big, big finale at the end of the year, too, and it will be the last short track race in Canada for this season. They always are. They're the final race of the year. But that isn't coming up for another few weeks yet.
Yep,
we got Jukasa next weekend to end
the Fall Brawl,
the NASCAR Pinty Series, and Limited Late Model Special, right?
Yep, for sure. Rolling into the finale for the NASCAR Pinty Series. Going to have the first time as well for the Limited Late Models kicking off over there at Jukasa as well.
Was that their first run?
Yeah, that's their first run over at Jukasa.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's been, you know, obviously Super Stocks and the Oscar Hot Rods, the Oscar Modifieds, Late Models, the Outlaw Cars have been there. This is the first kick of the can for the Limiteds.
Speaks
and I know a lot of guys are excited about that. You know, when you look down the list, Josh Stoddy is going to be there. Rick Walt. I've seen the Halliburton boys. They're
41
they're getting
car.
Ready.
I don't
know if Holdaway is going to be there or not.
Hmm.
But it's, you know, Grassel, by the sounds of it, Andrew Mazzell is going to show up with his limited late. It'll be interesting to see how many cars. I bet they have a truckload of limited lates.
I can well imagine, especially if it's their first opportunity to hit that big, beautiful speedway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they'll want to take advantage of that. And not to jinx it, but long-range forecast right now looks really good for next Saturday.
Yeah, definitely.
And hopefully it stays that way.
For sure. It can be cooler temperatures. I'm all cool with that.
Well,
it usually puts on some good racing. If it's in that 15-degree mark, it's...
That would be beautiful.
It would be gorgeous if we could see, you know, even down into that 12-degree mark, but no colder than that, please,
no.
Mother Nature. It's pretty high up in that spotter stand. I'll be up there all weekend.
And you got to know that JP will be getting ready to go for Autumn Colors.
Colors. Yep. By the sounds
autumn
of it,
colors,
the camp,
classic.
Camping is all sold out at Autumn Colors. I've seen a bunch of posts of people looking for campsites, so if you do have a campsite, I imagine you could sell it for a boatload of money
Did you see the name that I seen? Derek Lynch is going to be at his first
Autumn Colors
Classic.
Think about that. He's from that area.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be his first, like, ever.
Well, it's going to be his first racing.
It's going to be his first strapping a helmet on.
First time racing, isn't it?
That's cool.
Yeah, it is.
That's really cool. He's obviously turned a bunch of laps there this year and definitely in the past as well, but it's going to be interesting to see what Derek Lynch can do.
We're going to get Derek Lynch on this program before then.
Yes.
Yeah, we got to get him on and talk to Derek
about it.
He is he's been a guy that's been in the sport a long time, done a lot of good for this sport.
Absolutely.
And continues to do it. And now behind the wheel, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So it will be interesting to talk to him. And I've seen, what was it, another release? Who was it? Dan McCaddy, I think, is gearing up.
Dan McCaddy is gearing up as well, yeah. Yep. It'll be interesting. You know, I know the Grossman team, Kimball. Kimball is always a smoke show at the Autumn College Classic.
Always.
Whether he's in a limited late or whether he's in a pro late or a super late, he can get out there and get after it for that weekend. And they had an atrociously rough season with that SMG Fury team.
Poor guys.
And as well with the Sean Grossman super late model, they had a really rough season out of that camp and not of their own doing.
No.
You know, they
no,
got
no.
into a few wrecks and there was a few things happened mechanically and things like that. Just a tough season. They're going to be out for blood. They definitely want to get out there and you know, chase down the checkered flag. And you put Kimball within a sniff of that checkered flag in the Autumn Colors late model race, and he's going to be getting after it. So
yeah.
It'll be interesting. I know that they're gunning up. They've got to be taking like four cars to it. they've got that beautiful limited late. They've got that pro late.
They've got lots.
Two super lates. So it'll be interesting to see what they roll in the back gate with Grossman and Kimball and the Graham show over there. So it'll be interesting to see what they show up with. As well, you know, you got to look down the list on the APC side. There's a number of names that don't ever miss an Autumn Colors Classic show. And this year is more money than normal. It's a longer race than normal. It's going to be a really interesting deal with this combo between limiteds and pro lates.
Yeah, Teddy McAllister will be out there doing his dance.
We all will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure.
It's going to be a big weekend. Guaranteed.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Let's, while we got some time here, I got some clips from the weekend at Richmond.
Yes.
So what do you say we hear? Do you want to hear from Dale Jr. first?
Yes.
This clip is cool.
Yep.
Dale was asked, how much fun did you have inside that car? And here's what Dale had to say to the media after the race.
I'd love to race the late model, one more time somewhere. I'd love to take Elliot wherever he wants to go with one of our cars. I've got a car in the shop now that I need to build, and me and him can just goof off and maybe run a couple races a year for as long as he wants. We certainly would have fun doing that. You know, it's funny. You know, you think back, somebody was asking me out there how much fun I had. I said, when's the last time I had that much fun? And I always think back to the late model days is probably the funnest racing that I did. You went with your buddies, you know, whoever would go, got in the truck, you'd stop halfway down to the beach and get out and get a Mountain Dew and a Slim Jim and drive the rest of the way. And you'd stop down in South Carolina after the beach, you went to the Huddle House. You didn't go to the Waffle House because the Waffle House don't have French toast, but the Huddle House does. And I'm a big Waffle House fan, but the Huddle House was down at the beach were big time after the race, unless you wrecked somebody and you didn't stop because they'd be there. But I miss, you know, how free and easy that was. And as you got higher, obviously it's bigger business and much more competitive, even outside of the car, you know, the drivers, the egos and everything going on. Your own ego, it gets harder and harder to find the enjoyment the higher you get. You even see the guys that win all the time, you know, walk around most time with a frown on their face. So the late models was always the funnest.
Wouldn't that be cool to be at your short track, at your local short track, and all of a sudden you see a number 88 roll in?
It would be.
Wouldn't that, like...
It's the same type of feeling that these short track guys are experiencing right now with Kenny Wallace on the dirt side with Kenny Schrader, Tony Stewart as well, Casey Kane, you go down the list, Kyle Larson, all these guys are
unannounced. Unannounced would be cool. Roll in. Tony Stewart does that all the time, right?
He does that, yeah. And so does Kenny Schrader.
Yeah.
So does Kenny Wallace as well.
Yep. They don't always announce where they're going.
Yeah,
which is cool.
If you see an announcement of them coming, Sterling Marlin was fixing to do that at Jucasa.
Right.
You know, he was bringing his stuff up. He was going to race that race. And it was just his name just appeared on the entry list.
Right.
You know, that's the type of stuff that's really cool. And obviously it's attainable for those guys. It's just if they want to do it. And right. I think that you know, Dale Jr. has talked about doing this for so long that it's going to happen. Well, but now he's full-time into the TV side of things, and that gets
That's only half a season.
Is it, though?
Yeah,
it's only half a season. They're busy. They're full-time.
Well, I know they're
busy. You know, they've got the full-time on NASCAR America and
Kenny?
Things like that.
Kenny's on television. He still finds lots of time to go race.
Absolutely.
And with Elliott Sadler going to retire out now, he and Elliott, they're going to get their late models out. They're going to go.
It'd be cool.
Yeah.
It's definitely neat. When you look at the late model stock side of things down in the southern corridor, basically North Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, even into Kentucky, and, you know, in that corridor, South Carolina as well. When you look at the late model stock side of things, they're, a metric clip car. They're a lot heavier than a crate late, a lot more inexpensive to run. Dale Jr. and Junior Motorsports has fielded one of those for the last, I'm going to say 7 years with Josh Berry and that camp.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a truckload of late models sitting there in that Junior Motorsports shop. And it'll be interesting to see them out there because I think it's going to happen.
Are they tied to Fury as well?
No.
They're not, eh?
No. They're right up the road and they're friends.
But I didn't know if they were one and the same. No?
No.
Okay. Just
Fury and Fultz or Tony Urie and Fultz. And,
right.
And, that camp over there, the Gralla family.
Gotcha.
But it'll be really interesting to see what happens. I think that, you know, I love hearing Dale Jr. and any of those guys talk about their late model roots. And, you know, a guy that you're seeing a lot more of, he's definitely not as big of a name, but Timothy Peters.
Right.
You're seeing him run a bunch of late model races. And really, when you go down to
Sauter does
one of the,
that too.
Yeah,
right?
When you go down to one of those late model shows like at Martinsville or even, you know, Myrtle Beach Speedway or Hickory, you see guys like Scott Riggs with his son, Lane Riggs.
Yeah.
And, you look at the Setzer boys, Dennis Setzer's son, Brandon.
Right.
When you roll into one of those races, you see a bunch of names that you remember from back in the day. And it'll be interesting to see what Dale Jr. does. You know, I think that this weekend sparked a fire in his belly because he had a lot of fun. You could tell all the way through.
Well, and he had a good car too, right?
100%. You gotta have a good car to have fun.
You sure do. We're getting real close to the top of the hour here. We're going to throw it back to SiriusXM. Quick news package, get you up to date on all your news and highlights. And then we're going to come back for hour number two. And let me tell you who we got coming up in hour number two that you do not want to miss. J.R. Fitzpatrick is going to join us at some point here. He is at Sunset Speedway helping Roy out. So we're kind of hit and miss there, but we are going to try and connect with JR tonight. We'll also catch up with Cole Powell. We're going to talk New Hampshire. He's out on the pole. And we're going to catch up with Brandon McReynolds that won the K&N race. So we still got lots coming at you here tonight. So you don't want to go anywhere. We will be back in just a few moments. And right after the news and highlight package, this is going to be a good hour number two, Junior.
It will be, for sure.
It's going to be a real good one.
It's going to be awesome. I'm just enthralled in Twitter right now. I can't wait to talk about what I just watched.
Really? What did you just watch?
Just on the other side, there's a Corvette at New Smyrna Speedway in King of the Hill.
Yeah.
Backed it into the fence down the front stretch.
No.
Brand new C7. Killed it.
You don't want to do that.
Killed it.
And that was at New Smyrna?
At New Smyrna Speedway down the front stretch.
Oh, man.
I'll show you the video while we go to this news break.
Okay.
But that's man, it. I tell you what, he killed it.
Did he? Hopefully he's okay.
Ate it. I don't know. You see the airbags go off and everything. Poor guy.
No way.
Shouldn't have done that.
No. Well, it reminds me of the guy from Vet, right? No. I got to hit this break. We will be back in just a couple of moments for hour number two tonight, all live on Racetime Radio. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back in just a couple of shakes. Don't you move a muscle. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off two!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
Boom, and just like that, our number two begins.
That's the sound that the Corvette made when it hit the fence.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Holy!
Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. Hour two tonight on Sirius XM channel 167. So glad you could tune in. Coming up on the show, we have Cole Powell. We'll talk some New Hampshire Motor Speedway, a big race for NASCAR Pinties. It was Kevin LaCroix in the 74 going to victory lane. I reached out to Kevin to try and get him, but Kevin is on a bird. He is flying, so he can't join us.
Yeah, just a great showing by the sounds of it. The race was spectacular. You know, I can't wait to catch up with Cole Powell, see what he thought. You know, they interviewed him, the NASCAR Home Tracks people interviewed him, you know, leading into qualifying right after the first practice session. And can't wait to ask him about that first lap. He sounded like first lap was a little sketchy.
I kind of thought Cole was going to be the winner of that race. And
I did
the
too.
Reason why I say that is, number one, he's been having a great season, but he was one of the only guys in the field that actually has experience at the track.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I you know,
in a modified,
yeah,
but
when you look at it, Alex Tagliani ran an IndyCar there, and you know, DJ has run a modified or a you know, Xfinity car there and stuff like that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
But like, there's nothing the same modified to Pinty's car.
No, nothing at all.
Nothing.
Okay, let's bring in our guest. We do have Cole Powell with us on the hotline. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Good. You made it home okay? You back home?
Yeah, I just got home probably an hour ago. It felt like I drove across the world here today. It's a pretty long drive in a car, but made it back.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I want a detailed description of lap one driving in practice where you said that you drove it in like a modified. I want a detailed description of that to lead off this interview.
Yeah, I need a new race suit is what happened. It was all feeling good going down the straightaway. I was just eating some brakes in, and I told the boys, all right, well, I'm going to start firing it up a little bit. And then, drove it into three, what I thought was going to be kind of conservative, but my right foot thought different, I guess, and just kind of stayed into it. And they had that PJ1 sprayed down, so it's kind of like a dirt track with a cushion. Well, I blew way over that, and it's the third lap, so I'm just glad,
man.
I gathered that back up. But yeah, she doesn't stick like a modified up for sure.
No, it's a little heavier and a little less tire, right? It's
yeah, exactly.
Well, you're with the right company if you do need a new race suit, number one, so that's all good.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Jamie Meeker looked real good,
that's
I guarantee
right.
it.
That's right, yeah. Race suit number two, be fine.
Yeah.
So, Cole, you get there, and you get to New Hampshire. Now, the last time you were there, it wasn't a modified. It wasn't with the NASCAR Pinty Series, because this year was the debut for the Pinty Series at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. How was it? Was it received well by everyone? What was the buzz like?
Yeah, I think it went pretty well. I mean, everybody that's from New Hampshire came down and made sure that they showed appreciation for us coming across the border, and I feel like I was wanted to be there. It was everything was pretty smooth. I mean, tech went well. Everything was planned out. Everyone came down. They had a fan zone deal that was cool for people to walk through, and I thought it was a really good event. I would hope if I get a deal again to do this next year that we get to go back and do it. I had a lot of fun. I was talking to other drivers like Kennington and Ranger, and I haven't heard anything bad for us going there. It costs a little bit more money, obviously, because of the American dollar and that, but I think it was a really good race and really great weekend.
You got to love it when a plan comes together and it becomes fruitful like that. Now, time-wise, would you say is it a further tow than going out, to a place like Riverside, or was it actually closer?
Well, I got to fly to Riverside, so, I mean, I'm going to say that this was a lot farther, especially today. And then we hit some traffic on the 401, so that was fun, too. It's not terrible. It was about today for us, we were 10.5 hours, so, I mean, it's not terrible by any means. You drive out west, that's starting to be pretty painful, but it's not too bad.
Good deal. Now let's talk about practice. You get there, you unload for practice. How was the car in practice?
It was pretty good. They EHR and the boys, they hit it pretty close. I mean, we were just we didn't have to throw the kitchen sink at it by any means. We were just kind of fine tuning. And I was just kind of searching around for what line the car really liked, and practice went pretty smooth. We just ended up doing a gear change at the end. NASCAR did the right thing with giving us lots and lots of practice. They gave us an hour, I think it was an hour the first time, and then you had an hour and a half break, and then you had an hour and a half more of practice, which is awesome. It gives the teams a good amount of time to really dial in their cars, because you are going so fast around there. You're on the edge the whole time, so... practice is key, and I felt like we had a pretty good car for the race after practice.
Well, don't worry. That nice-hearted NASCAR person that gave you that practice, if you go back next year, they're going to turn cold as stone again, and the practice time will go way down. I'm only kidding, NASCAR. But you know
half
it's
hour,
true.
Half hour only.
Yeah, half hour practice.
Yeah, so you get out there, practice went real good. Now it's time to go qualify. And we got pole on the call, or we got Cole on the pole, so it must have went real well.
Yeah, it was. I really wasn't expecting to do that at all. I was kind of at the end of practice. I think we were fifth or sixth or whatever it was, and I was happy with trying to get in the top five. I figured that would be great for us, good starting spot. And coming to the second lap, my spotter Jeff Gutler came on and said that I run a 32. No, what was it? I can't even remember what it was. It was a 90-something, and I hadn't hit a 90 all day. And I thought to myself, I'm like, well, I didn't even really push it that lap. I'm really going to push it this lap, and I think I'm going to have a little more speed. And it worked out great, running 86, and it was the quickest time of all day. I was shocked. As he was telling me down the back straightaway, the radio cut out, and I thought he said something way slower. I'm like, oh, damn it. Like, I didn't get the pole, but hopefully it was good enough. They come in, they were hugging me. I'm like, oh, it must have been pretty good that you guys aren't mad at me. So, it was awesome. It was a pretty cool experience, and really not much of a qualifier, but to get the pole there is super special to me.
Yeah, well, I seen 119 miles an hour, 119 and change. I went, wow, Cole, good for you, man. Good qualifying lap. Was it single lap qualifying?
Yeah, it was just single car deal, the green, white checkered.
Yeah, and that's good, right? You get to a track like that really no one knew, it's probably a good idea to do qualifying in that fashion.
Yeah, I think so. They kind of change it up everywhere we go. Sometimes it's group qualifying, sometimes it's not. Sometimes you get an extra lap. They kind of just tell you the day of this is what we're going to do. So I'm okay with whatever they do. It's qualifying, so if it's two laps or five laps, you're not really going to go much faster after the third lap anyway. So I was cool with how they threw that down.
So now let's talk about the race itself. You get to lead everybody to the green flag. You get to be the first one to smash that loud pedal. Talk to us a little bit about the race itself and how it went for the three car.
Yeah, it was super cool coming to the initial green there. I had talked to Kennington before, and we had some signals figured out that we were, when I go, he was going to come with me, and we had that figured out, and we killed it the first time. And then the caution came out, and we had to redo it again, and the second time was okay. Got to lead, I think, about 10 or 11 laps or something like that, which was pretty good. Car just really started going away. That qualifying setup was awesome, but it's not a race setup at all. We were just on the free side. Free getting in, free in the center, and free off. It was like I was driving on ice out there. So we started to go backwards, which was unfortunate. And that first caution came out after the real quick one at the start. And Craig, my crew chief, made the call, like, we're coming in this thing. We don't need you to wreck it. So come in, we'll throw some fuel, because fuel was a big question if these cars were going to make it 100 laps. So we come down, put some fuel in it, and tighten it up, which it helped it a little bit. I was able to drive back from 12th up to 5th and then finish 4th, which is okay. I was pretty disappointed. I really wanted to try win that one. That was a big race on the calendar all year. And cars in one piece, I mean, I can't really be that disappointed with it. But to get the pole and lead 10 laps and then go backwards is a little disappointing. But it is what it is. We'll go on to Jocassa and try win that one.
Well, maybe you should have tried knocking the nose off like St. Eustache, and then we would have finished one spot better.
Yeah, I think this is the only track that I don't think if the aero might actually hurt there. Everywhere else we go, I think you could run it without a body on it. It won't matter. But
100%.
A little different.
Yeah.
Did
sure.
It feel like you had enough car, Cole? Like, how was the cars, the NASCAR Pindy's cars, how do they match up to a big track like that?
Yeah, I thought they were pretty good. I mean, I thought that we were good enough. It'd be cool if they picked another track for us to go to every year. So maybe next year we don't go to New Hampshire. Maybe we go to like Richmond or something like that.
Watkins Glen.
Or no, I don't want to Watkins Glen.
That was just for you, buddy. That was just for you.
Just for you.
No, I'll just stick to the circle stuff. That's all right.
Yeah, Watkins. No, not that one.
It's a cool track to go to. New Hampshire's no joke. It's a crazy fast with not much banking, big corner speed. So I thought our cars held up really well. It would have been cool if we had more of them there. Having 17 wasn't a terrible turnout by any means, but it's such a big track that I was watching it on YouTube actually on the way home, and it kind of makes it look like there was only 10 of us out there on that initial start because the track's so damn big. But I thought it was a good show.
Now, that's good, and that's really good to hear from a guy that was out there, had a top five run. That's really good to hear, and it could be a good momentum booster. There could be more of those guys, and there should be more guys in our national series. And I got no question that there's going to be in given time.
Yeah, I think so too. It is a pricey series for sure, but for me being in it for this first year and coming in not really knowing what to expect, and then the summer's flown by, and now coming into Jocassa being the last race, it's a really good series. I mean, everybody's super great to be around. The competitive atmosphere is one of the best that I've ever been a part of. It's a really good series. I like it. I don't have a deal for next year or anything like that right now, so hopefully I can get something in the works and I do this again next year, and I had a blast all summer. It's not done yet, so don't count the three car out for Jocassa yet, but it's a good series. I had a lot of fun and some good hard racing.
Well, something I've learned a long time ago, never count Cole Powell out unless he is sitting on the sidelines. Don't count that guy out.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
We would never do that, I can guarantee you. Cole, talking Jocassa now, you head into your final race of the year. It's the biggest track we got here in Canada. What do you take away from New Hampshire that you're going to be able to put through Jocassa to make you go to victory lane this time around?
I think it's all just going to be getting the car where I need it to be in the long runs. having a consistent car is really important in this series, and especially at Jocassa. The thing that you take away is the corner speed. They're longer corners in New Hampshire, obviously, but coming to the Jocassa, it's not like we're going to Spanish-Dash where it's a little bull ring. So you can kind of, it's kind of a similar corner type deal. It's just all about getting your car really, really consistent and trying to be there at the end. And we were good the first time we went there, so I'm thinking we should be able to unload pretty good and fine-tune this thing into being a really consistent race car throughout the deal.
Which track felt faster, New Hampshire or Jocassa? Which one feels faster?
Oh, New Hampshire for sure. Yeah, you get cooking down that back straightaway at New Hampshire, and then you hit the three bumps getting into three. And if you blow it in a little too hard and it starts skating, you definitely feel like you're going pretty quick. Jocassa's quick. I mean, that place isn't a slouch either, but coming from a mile, it's pretty damn quick.
And that's coming from a guy that has sailed his way around Daytona International Speedway, I might add, too, where it is 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, exactly. That's a different kind of speed, though. That place, it only feels fast when you crash there, which is unfortunate that I've done, but everybody's going so fast there, it doesn't really feel like you're going too quick until you actually hit something.
Yeah, until you got to stop, right?
Yeah, exactly. Until you got to get on pit road, then you're like, oh, wow, I'm actually going pretty quick, banging through the gears down to get down to the 45-mile-an-hour pit speed.
Let's talk about some speed here. Turn two at Mossport. What did you think of that? You had to go through there quite a bit this year, but what was your favorite road course memory of the year? So at the end now,
favorite road course would be, I would say it was the first road course race at CTMP because I ended up getting a top 10 out of that. The other ones, we drove up into the top 10 and then got kind of mangled up in some other people's messes and some stuff like that. But Mossport is a different animal. It's a lot of fun, but it's a sketchy place too. It's got those high speed blind corners like turn two and turn four. It's a different animal there. People that have never been there that just watch it on TV, they kind of be like, oh yeah, it looks like a fun track with, you got some hills. I'm like, yeah, those aren't hills. Those are like mountains when you're out there. You're coming up four stories, coming down. It's crazy. So road course racing, that would be probably my favorite memory for the year on road courses is the first race at CTMP.
Cool. And it's been a learned season for you, right? That's the cool part about having a good season and a debut season, if you will. You get a chance to learn and experience all different kinds of stuff. And, man, you've done that this year.
Yeah, it's been definitely, especially with the road racing, is a big learning curve for sure. I didn't know, and I still don't really know exactly how those French guys do it so damn good, but they're special at turning left and right for sure. I still got a lot of learning to do to get up to speed with them, but it's been a really good year. We've had a lot of good luck on our side as well, having tires go down at the perfect time when a caution would come out, like what happened at Jocassa, and just trying to piece together a really good year, and I think we've done that. And heading into Jocassa, I know we're pretty far back in points now, but I mean anything can happen. It is a high speed track, so I'm hoping for the best, and I'll just try to do what I can control, and that's my car, and try to put that thing in victory lane.
If you're just tuned into Racetime Radio, you may be wondering, who is that talking? I know that voice on the other end. Well, that is Cole Powell, and he was on the pole this weekend at New Hampshire. His next race, the NASCAR Pindy Series at Jocassa, just next weekend. So if you want to see that number three, Team 3 Red go, you're going to have to come out to Jocassa this coming weekend and see Cole Powell do it. Cole, sponsorship on your race car. You guys have been well deckled up all season long, right?
Yeah, I got to thank Kubota Canada for sponsoring EHR. We wouldn't be anywhere without them. And Cops Build All for sure for saving the day, saving the year, really. We were going to be done pretty well after Toronto Grand Prix, and Steve and his family come on board and with Cops Build All on the hood, which was able to get me the rest of the season. Fast Eddie's, Chaco, Premier Trucking gets our hauler up and down the highways to track. My parents are a huge deal in this year. the whole crew, everybody. It's been a really good year, good fun year, good group of guys, and we've been having some good success too, which is always fun. I think that makes it a lot better when everybody's gelling and you're getting some good results. So just hoping that I can get something going for next year, because it is a really good series and good racing.
Well, if you cap her all off with the win, kiddo, that would really put a cherry on top, wouldn't it?
I think so, yeah. I'm going to be trying like hell to get a win, yeah, for sure.
Well, with any luck at all, I'll be there watching you, too. I'm going to try and make my first Pindy's race of the year. We'll have to see if the London Cancer Center is kind to me this week. If they're kind to me this week, then just I might be able to make it.
Well, if you do, I'll have a 3-shirt waiting for you there.
You betcha, brother. I'd look forward to it.
I'll give him a Ranger shirt, too.
Oh, come on.
put the Ranger
shirt on first, and then put the 3 shirt on.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to it. You want motivation to get through the next week when you got this thing that I got going on? You just tell me there's a race at the other end of it, and I'm going to do my best to make it to it. I can tell you that.
Hopefully this week goes well for you, and I get to see you at Jocasta, because I think it's going to be a wild race. He's the last three, the top points guys, 47, 18, and myself, everybody wants to win the last race of the year, too, to go into the off season being the last winner, and I think it's going to be one of the most exciting races that we've had this year.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, Cole. This is going to be off the chip. Everybody's got to make their way to Jocasta and check out our National Series final of the season. It's going to be truly awesome. Cole, we appreciate your time as always here on Racetime, and we look forward to hopefully catching up with you next week. If not, I'll be watching you on TSN, just so you know.
Good deal. Well, I always appreciate you guys having me on the show. Enjoy talking to you guys, and I know I'll see one of you at least next weekend. Hopefully, I'll see both of you.
Yeah, hopefully you're seeing double.
Yeah.
Well, if you win, you may be seeing double-double.
That's right.
Yeah, double-double for sure.
Double-double. Cole, you have a good one, buddy. Go get some rest.
You too. We'll talk to you.
You bet. That's Cole Powell, driver the number 3 in the NASCAR Pindy Series. Wouldn't it be great to be Cole for a day, being on the pole at New Hampshire?
Yeah, definitely. Really cool. And really, for what it's worth, coming from me, but he has done a phenomenal job this year. He came into the series, you know, and it was a virtual unknown for the competitors, right?
Absolutely.
Because really, he hadn't raced against a whole lot of those guys in other late model series or modifieds or anything else. Really, you know, when you look at it, I remember watching him and DJ Kennington race, you know, side by side a little bit
at Delaware.
But really, outside of that, you know, I don't know, you know, who he would have raced outside of that, you know, previous to rolling into the series.
Right.
And he did a masterful job. He came out and he raced every race with respect but aggression at the same time.
That's cool.
And, you know, when you look at the races that he put on throughout the season and really overcoming adversity, you know, it was nothing for him to come from 10th and drive his way up to the front every single time that he was put in that position. And he qualified up front every time he got to an oval. And really his road course program, we joke around about it, and I joked around about it at the beginning, but it's his first season on road courses. And, to come home 6th in the NASCAR Pinty Series in his first trip out there at Mossport.
That's saying a ton.
And really putting the results together that he did put together at races like at Three Rivers and as well at the Toronto Indy. The kid did a great job, and it was a lot of fun standing up in that spotter stand and watching every one of those races, because he was very aggressive and he put on a great show for the fans, and you can tell he's not there to make friends, but he's also not out there making enemies, I think they gained, everybody in the field gained a ton of respect for him. right out of the gate at Jukasa, and everybody raced him with respect all the way through the year. And you don't see that too often with a new guy coming into the series. I know he wasn't a rookie because he had raced the Modifieds, which was technically a division up from the Finney Series.
He still should have been eligible for Rookie of the
Year. I agree wholeheartedly.
He still should have been.
But it is, you know, he did race the series up.
I agree.
And, but, you know, when you look at Cole Powell and, you know, at the end of the season, I would give them an A for absolutely every category. There's obviously room for improvement at the road courses, and he would say that there's probably room for improvement in the ovals as well. But I think he did a great job.
Says a ton about the number three team as well,
100%,
right?
100%.
Like Jamie and Ed and
they've got a stacked team over there.
They sure do. And Jeff and Grunt and all of them, like that whole team, they gelled real well together. And when you say, you know, Cole was aggressive, but you know, like respectable, aggressive.
Yep.
Sounds to me a lot like Jason Hathaway. You know, you could
it does.
Swap the two guys out and you wouldn't even know that there was a driver change in there, you know?
Yep, for sure.
Because that's the way Hathaway raced, too. So
100%.
That sounds like that team needs to be back together for 2019, if you ask me.
100%. You know, it's easy for a guy that's coming into the series to ride around in some of the guys' tracks. Right. Out there, or drive through them, you know, one or the other. And,
right,
and the biggest thing for me is that, you know, watching him race just on the back bumper of the 27, you know, if he got to the back bumper of us, you know, and rode around for three laps, he didn't just stay there and ride around and he didn't drive through us, but he was putting a nose in there.
Sure he was.
And he did a masterful
job. Makes you get your driver going, right?
He did a masterful job every lap that I had seen, and wish him the best of luck at Jukasa.
Yeah, it's going to be a cool weekend. You want to join us there.
We're going to be there.
We're going to hit a quick break right now. And when we come back, J.R. Fitzpatrick is going to be on this hotline. Watch this.
Hey everybody, this is Tom Walters, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Discover a place where the sun and the tunes are shining bright.
This is Jimmy Buffett, and whether I'm traveling by land, by sea, or by air, Radio Margaritaville is my soundtrack.
Immerse yourself in a mix of Jimmy's favorite island music, commercial-free rock, reggae, folk, and live concerts to transport you to an instant warm weather vacation.
It's Radio Margaritaville.
Channel 24 and on the Sirius XM app.
SiriusXM has a commercial-free music channel for when you are ready to proudly fly your freak flag.
We're getting loud and crazy.
Crazy on Aussie's Boneyard.
It's hard and heavy classic rock officially sanctioned by the Prince of Darkness himself, Ozzy Osbourne.
I can't believe I got my own channel, man.
Get your AC/DC, Priest, Zeppelin, Iron Maiden, and Van Halen. Oh, and of course, Ozzy.
Ozzy's Boneyard. SiriusXM 38.
Also available online and on the SiriusXM app.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Stick a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left right up.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing, the race leader off two!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
Taking you all the way to the track
and back.
It's Race Time Radio.
SiriusXM 167.
Now, here's Joe.
Okay, swing and a miss. Do you see that junior right through the plate? Trying to get JR. He is busy. I know he's busy. They are racing at Sunset Speedway. At least I believe they are still racing at Sunset Speedway.
Twisting wrenches and on Roy Pastor's car.
Yeah, JR's helping the father-in-law. So,
yep.
He will. We'll still try. But we also have Brandon McReynolds, and we're going to try and get Brandon on here right now. He went to Victory Lane at New Hampshire in the NASCAR Can-Am Pro Series race. So pretty cool that we got Brandon. We got him all set?
Okay. Yeah, all set.
Okay,
all set.
Well, let's do this. We should have Brendan McReynolds over here now. How you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Fantastic. Hey, congratulations. You won.
Yeah, no, it was a good day up there in Loudoun. It was pretty cool to be able to go to a racetrack that I kind of told everybody in my post-race interview yesterday that my dad had won at, you know, years ago, and always take a lot of pride in going to places that he's had success as a crew chief and being able to succeed. So it was a really cool win for us.
You got to love that. Brandon, did they give you a big lobster?
No, they I guess they just keep that for the cup guys. So whoever won the cup race up there earlier this year, they must have taken it home with them. So got a pretty cool trophy, and they actually set a basket of apples on top of the car, and I didn't even see it when I got out to celebrate. And I was slinging beer all over the place, and I knocked over the apples, and they went rolling all over top of the car. So I got down to the tech to make sure that we were all good to load up, and I was like, where in the heck did all these apples come from? There's like 100 apples on the deck of our car. So no lobster, but we definitely got the big old basket of apples, so whatever that was worth.
Good deal. Good stuff. So good weekend. Weather was good, and the turnout sounded like it was fine.
Yeah, no, it was really great. The New Hampshire Motor Speedway and their whole staff did a really good job putting on that event. And it was cool to see just the three series come together, the Penske series and the Will and Modified Tour, and then obviously the K&M Pro Series. So I think that event's just going to continue to grow and get better, and more people are going to hear about it. But it's just, like you said, the weather was beautiful up there. It was nice coming from Charlotte, where it's been 100 degrees out, and getting up there and being in 60, 65-degree weather, and really great for the fans. And they had a good turnout. A bunch of people showed up, and it was good to see the fans support it. So all in all, really good weekend for them, and hopefully that event can continue to grow.
Wouldn't it be cool if that does continue to grow, and it's one of the ones that we can now sit back and look forward to and, you know, put on that schedule and plan to be there at it? That's the trouble with the first off of anything, right? Just like Ducasse in the 50K to win race, it's the first one off. You want it to be an annual. They announced it, they're going to do an annual. But you got to pick the right weekend. You got to have all those things, and the stars got to align. But to have a race weekend like that, where you get the three national series together, man, you can't beat it. From a fan's perspective, it's truly got to be one that you got to be at.
Yeah, for sure. And really, you hear so many people talking about how can they put the K&N series with the Cup series more and more, but really, just to be able to go up into the Northeast and have the presence of all the modified fans, that standalone event was pretty impressive in my eyes. I mean, I can remember being at New Hampshire earlier this summer for the K&N race that we ran up there with our IGA Ascani Motorsports car, and really, I really felt like there was probably just as many people in the grandstands, you know, on Saturday for all three races yesterday that there were for maybe a little less, but right around the same number as the Xfinity race. So I think that says a lot about, you know, short track racing and the health of it. And even though the car counts are a little bit down, I think it's still exciting to see a lot of fans show up and support it. And as you mentioned, I just think as the years go, if they can keep that event around and keep it sponsored and keep the funding with it, I think it's just going to grow into the racetrack, and the series will continue to do different things with it that'll make it more enticing to get the car counts back up and get more people showing up for it.
Brandon, you touched on Visconti Motorsports and, of course, your team owner. That was their first big win, correct?
Yeah, that car we actually built it over at Tommy Baldwin's a couple years ago, and had a lot of speed with it, and then Tommy actually sold it to John Visconti, who owns the team, with his partner Bill, and they're just my racers from up in the New England area, and they were wanting to get more involved in NASCAR, so they bought a K&N car and gave a guy like me a chance to show up and drive it and try to help build out the program with our team, and Bruce Cook, my crew chief, and everybody that shows up at the racetrack to help us, Just to be able to go to Victory Lane yesterday, it was huge for me. I didn't want to race in a long time, just mostly because I haven't been racing that much. But to be able to go win on a big stage with a team that's not a powerhouse team, it's not you know, we're not spending, you know, tons and tons of money. We're trying to show up and race with the budget that we have and the sponsors that we have, and we have some good ones with IGA and all that. But it was just really cool to see how excited John and his partner Bill and their wives, how excited they were. That was really cool.
Brandon, looking at Loudon, obviously it's a racetrack. You touched on it. It's a place where your dad has won with in the past. But you had your dad standing up on the spotter stand this weekend. That has to be really special as well.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. That's one of the tricky parts with standalone, you know, short track races is you really can't get some of the spotters that you need. I know a lot of Penske Series teams and modified teams were looking around for different spotters, and some of the spotters that were there were spotting multiple series. But I knew my dad was coming up there, and in our small budget, our car owner and our team, we couldn't afford to fly just more and more people to go to the race. So I talked to Bruce, our crew chief, and I was like, "Look, my dad's coming up there. I think he used to spot some for Mike Skinner back when they had that Toyota truck team years ago, and so he's had some experience doing it. He spotted for me and Denny Hamlin short track showdown race years ago in Richmond. So I'd worked with him on the radio before, and sometimes the father son combination isn't the best combination when it comes to spotting and driving, but he did a good job. It was cool, you know, him just kind of helping us keep tempo with the race and keeping me aware of what was going on at the back. So just a really cool moment for him, and always, you know, always enjoyed making my dad proud. So it was really neat that he's always a part of it because he's my dad, but it was really cool that he's a part of it just from the standpoint of being able to spot. So that was pretty neat.
Well, most people give the teacher an apple. You give the spotter one.
Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah,
the tech man, right. And the crew chief, and the car chief, and yeah. You had 100 of them to give out.
Yeah, we got plenty of them. They're still sitting on the deck lid, I'm pretty sure.
Be careful. They'll give you gas, brother. They'll give you gas. I know they will. Did you stick around for the modified race? I bet you were itching to go jump into that, too.
Yeah, I actually had to get out of there. We flew home late last night, and so after we won the race, obviously, we had to do all the meeting and stuff, and the modified race was already rolling, and we had to go through tech and get our car loaded up, and then we had to go to the airport a lot faster than we should have been going down the interstate. So luckily, no speeding tickets, and we made it and had to fly back to Charlotte. So I didn't really see any of the highlights until early this morning with that crazy finish going down the back straightaway with Priest and Bonsignor. So that was pretty wild, but... But yeah, I've always wanted to run a modified. I knew my buddy Corey LaJoy, he's run one and actually one down in Atlanta years ago, and they look like a lot of fun, and I couldn't believe how long of a race that was. 250 laps is, I mean, heck, that's only 50 laps short of what they run in the Cup car, so I'm sure that was a handful for those guys.
I bet. Yeah, long race, but they love it, those guys.
Oh yeah, no, they do, and it's cool to see just up there the draft that they carry and how closed up all those guys stay all the time, and just the drivers that they have, you know, Woody Pitcat and Bonsignor and Priest, you know, a lot of those guys are really talented and put on a heck of a show, and they definitely don't cut each other any slack, so I know the fans really enjoy that.
Yeah, no kidding. So now that's it for off time for you, right? You guys will be buckling down with the truck series, and are you going to get back into a car at all, or is it now nose to the grindstone back for you?
Yeah, so we have this weekend coming up is the Roval weekend in Charlotte, so we're off this weekend to get to enjoy some time at home. I got to go out and speed away for some stuff for work with Noah Gregson, who I've been working for, and so back to reality this week, and then the following week, I'm actually going to be going up to Dover to run the K&N car with the same team. So one more race for us, and then as you mentioned, the rest of the year is pretty much truck racing for me. So it's going to get pretty busy, and then on into the holidays. So it's been a long year, and hopefully we can get regrouped and on the truck side with Noah and push through and kind of transfer on to the next round after Talladega and go try to chase after a championship. I know he's been putting a lot of work, you know, during these off weeks, and he just got done running a super late model down in Pensacola. So, yeah, hopefully we can keep pushing through with that, but definitely looking forward to Dover with our Visconti Motorsports Chevrolet too. Looking forward to going up there and try to get another win before the year's out.
One thing that you didn't mention through that whole deal was the Snowball Derby. Is that being put together for you to run the Derby yet?
Yeah, so last year I ran, I actually ran for a guy, Mike Bursley. They're out of Michigan, and I ran their car. Eric Jones has driven it a couple times and ran really well. We got up to, I think, fifth or sixth there before the end of the race at the Derby last year, and ended up staying out on tires, and the strategy just didn't really pan out, but I'm trying to put it together. I'd like to. I got to talk with those guys this week, and still looking for a little additional funding. So there you go, Joe. In your spare time, maybe we could put something together and get you down there to spot for me or something like that. But I'd really like to go run it. That race is one of the coolest races that anybody can go to, and definitely advise any fans out there to go check it out at the Snowball Derby, because they put on a heck of a show.
Absolutely, and it's always a lot of fun towards the end of the year. Everybody's down there, and you definitely get a good grasp of short track racing there.
Yeah, absolutely. I know it's, you know, you go in on Wednesday, and everyone's having fun, and tech. You have all-day tech on Wednesday, then you show up for Thursday and try to figure out how to get a handle on your race car, and then come Friday night, it's pretty wild going to a short track and seeing the stands basically sold out for Friday night qualifying. It just really reminds me a lot of the old Cup Series back when, you know, the stands were packed for qualifying or pole night. So it's a pretty neat event, and hopefully we'll have good weather down there. And like I said, hopefully we can come up with some funding to go make it happen, because I feel like we can go down there and have another good day.
It's almost more fun without a race car, though. So I'll sponsor a case of beer, and let's go down and have some fun.
There you go. Well, I'll hold you to it. If I don't find the tire money to go, I'll hold you to it.
Sounds too good, funny. Man. Sounds good. Brandon, looking at the rest of the season, Dover is a fast racetrack and obviously a lot of fun. Take us, how's the feeling going into that event for you guys on the K&N side?
Well, you know, it really Dover, ever since they changed Bristol reminds me a lot of a smaller Dover. We ran really well there at the beginning of the year with our taming car that we got our first top five of the season. We finished fifth, and there was a really strong field up there. So going into Dover, we're probably just going to try to focus on some of the things that we've learned over the summer, just, you know, making our setups better and things like that. But really, looking at it, probably going to go back with the same package that we had at Bristol, because that seemed to do pretty well for us. So the place is wild. It's one of the fastest places you go to. You know, a lot of sensation of speed with the hill getting into turn one. Car sets down really hard, and then you kind of rise up out of the banking on both ends off of turn two and turn four. So it's one of the craziest places you can go race, but it's amazing. So I can always run really well there. Had some second place finishes. Had a few taken away from me. Me and my buddy Corey LaJoy got into it one year, and coming back to the white, and he ended up getting the win, and I got the short end of the stick, but it was a lot of fun racing with him. So hopefully going into it, we can go up there and go get another checkered flag. I really like that place a lot, and it would be really cool to bring home that little Miles the Monster trophy. I know that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, those are the cool trophies. Those are the ones that you want to stack up.
That's right. And if we don't, I might just call Jimmy Johnson, because he's got about 20 of them, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he's got the big version.
His garage sale one day will be real cool.
That's right.
Incredible. Brandon, this has been great catching up with you, man. Congratulations on the win in New Hampshire. Couldn't think of a better guy to go to Victory Lane.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, and just definitely very fortunate be able to come on you guys' show. Thank you for having me on, and just can't thank my team and my family enough for helping me put all this together. It was really rewarding to go up there and win with our small team, and we're going to keep building the thing up and see what we can make of it. So I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure, and thanks so much. And remember, apples give you gas. Be careful. Be careful, brother.
That's right. You stay away from it.
Have a good one.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. That's Brandon McReynolds, Victory Lane. How about that, Junior? Victory Lane.
Yeah, definitely. It was pretty cool. I was scrolling through Twitter. It was later on, you know, last night, just kind of scrolling through, and I seen that Brandon McReynolds standing in Victory Lane. You know, it was right in the afternoon there, and I that was super cool. I didn't get a chance to watch the race, obviously, but just a cool overall finish. I watched the green white checkered at the end. There was a sweet post made, and he had to get after it. There was a green white checkered, and he squirted out of there, just got out front and made some noise and got back around to the line first. So just an exciting finish, and obviously all weekend he had a strong car and a strong team, and he's not kidding when he says they're a small team. They're not Bill McAnally, and they're definitely not MDM, but the proof is in the pudding that you can, you know, get a race car and put it together and put it together the right way and put a good group of guys together and go out and win some races. So I love the underdog story, and for him to be the underdog is pretty cool.
Yeah, you know what primed him up for that, right? It's that fourth place finish at Riverside.
Nice.
Was it ninth?
Yeah, ninth.
Oh,
he
I thought
struggled.
It was fourth. I
he
thought
struggled.
It was fourth. Okay.
He was
okay.
Gassed after that one. We should have talked about that one.
Yeah, we should have. Well, next time we get Brandon McReynolds on, we'll go after
after
that
he wins
one.
Dover.
That's what we'll do. There you go. Okay, final break of the show and final swing at the J.R. Fitzpatrick interview, too. We're going to do that right at the other side of this break. Stay with us.
Hello, race fans. This is Adam Andretti, and you're listening to the best with Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bowl shopping.
Hey, Joe! I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Rebellion became the foundation of the first generation of classic rock.
We must be in heaven, man!
On Classic Vinyl, Channel 26.
On Channel 25,
Classic Rewind
brings you the second generation. Classic rock.
From the vinyl
to cassette era.
Hear it.
Commercial free.
On SiriusXM.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. K&K Insurance, insuring the world's fun. Dawson Dental Centers, get your Victory Lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
More Short Track Live, Coast to Coast, next.
Only on Racetime Radio.
On Sirius 167.
Canada Talks.
Baseball.
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 Got it, gone.
Hear every pitch of the 2018 season on SiriusXM. Add your hometown call with dedicated team channels on the SiriusXM app. Plus, expert analysis 24/7 on MLB Network Radio.
This is the type of a deal that wins championships.
Major League Baseball on SiriusXM and MLB Network Radio. Sirius 209, XM 89, and the SiriusXM app.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
Is he talking to me or you?
He's talking to you.
Both same guy. Welcome
back.
You paid
him
everybody.
To talk to you.
Welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight here on SiriusXM, Channel 167, or maybe it's XFM 98.9 XFM, Antigonish, Nova Scotia, or Performance Motorsport Network or
iTunes or racetimeradio.com or wherever you are.
Okay.
Just hello.
All of those. Hello. We're trying to get JR, but we're not being too successful in grabbing JR tonight.
Must be too busy for us.
And that's what he is. It is a race night for those guys. They're doing the Velocity 250 weekend, and JR is a little bit tied up, I guess.
Yeah,
so,
most definitely.
We will catch up with him. I can guarantee you that we will do that in due time. I want to remind you, if you were anywhere close next weekend in the province of Newfoundland, you got to make it out to Eastbound International Speedway, Eastbound Park. They have got the finale. It's a 150 night for the sportsman cars. You'll also see the hobby stocks, the legend cars, and the bandoleros. All of the points will be finishing off next Saturday, so you don't want to miss that. It's going to be a huge, huge night. And the points battle, I'll tell you right now, is incredibly tight. You got guys like Josh Collins that are right there. Wayne Walsh, he is last year's champion, and he's trying to repeat again this year. Why wouldn't you want to, right?
100%.
To win that championship and to win those NASCAR points, that's a tough deal.
Yes.
Real, real tough. And we've got a battle on our hands out there, I'll tell you that right now. So you want to catch some great racing, and if you're in the province of Newfoundland, make sure you make it out to Eastbound Park next Saturday.
Yes. And say hi to everybody for us.
Absolutely.
Say hi to everybody.
I would normally be there.
100%.
But I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm positive that I'm not going to be able to make it now. I had a good weekend, but anybody that's listening probably be able to tell that I'm struggling a wee bit here. Going through the treatments I'm going through, it's going to affect the side effects of the treatments that I'm getting are starting to come down. So it's definitely going to affect my speech and my voice temporarily until I get all healed up. And then we'll be back with you full tilt on Racetime Radio. But if you happen to wonder where Racetime Radio went over the next couple of weeks, and I say that, and I could feel fine tomorrow, with this deal, you don't know what you're going to end up with. So you got to be patient.
Schedule is TBA.
That's exactly what it is.
That's
it's going to be TBA.
For sure.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, yeah. Let's hear some clips from Richmond. I know I said we were going to listen to them before, but let's hear what Kyle Busch had to say, because we haven't heard from Kyle yet. Here's what he had to say about the win.
It's really good to have the win, to be able to go into next week. I think anytime you can automatically punch your ticket to the next round, that just makes it even better. Being able to come here in Richmond in the fall, whoever said I didn't win here in the fall race, I got you. We won here now. So, finally, again, I didn't know what was eluding us from being able to win here in the fall, but we were able to get it done tonight. So, it was a handful out there, that's for sure. Car wasn't great early, but once we got some adjustments to it, it really woke up, and car kind of came to us continuation all night long of the sun going down and just getting better and better, so that was good.
Yeah, how about that M&M's Toyota? Man, that guy, is he figured into your Final Four, Junior?
100%.
Yeah?
Yeah, the yes, for sure.
Who's your Final Four?
Kyle Busch.
Yep.
Kevin Harvick.
Yep.
Martin Truex. And I wouldn't have said this 2 weeks ago, or I wouldn't have said this 4 weeks ago, but Brad Keselowski.
Oh, K's got to be in there.
Yeah, but now. I think they're on such a hot streak right now that you got to put them in there. But, man, it's, the big three has become the big four, obviously, with how Brad Keselowski has came on. I think they had decent speed all year, but really they turned a massive corner. I thought he had the car to beat again. at Richmond. You got to have him in your Final Four.
78 would have won that race had he not had that penalty.
I disagree with that.
You think?
Yeah, no, I disagree with that. I don't think they had the overall speed. Looking at the race itself, to watch Kyle Busch drive from the back to the front like he did.
Very impressive.
Very impressive and just a show of will. And you put any adversity in front of one of those Busch boys, and they usually step up to the plate in a big way.
How about C. Bell over in the Xfinity Series? And I might add, Alex Labbe, our Canadian guy, driver of the 36, has been doing a phenomenal job again this year, running the full series. If you watch the Xfinity Series, watch the number 36. Alex, I believe, was 20th place finish this time around. But he's consistent. Man, he's like right in there. But how about C. Bell? That guy is amazing behind the wheel.
How about Ross Chastain? That's who we need to talk about right after we hear from Christopher Bell here.
Okay, here's what Christopher Bell talks about. When you win, it takes the pressure off, right? Because now you qualify for the next end. Have a listen.
For me, it feels better that I don't have to stress about getting crashed or crashing. So I can be aggressive and go race and try to win. So that's the biggest thing for me. And you know, me and Jason sat down a couple weeks ago and kind of went over our little playoff schedule here, and there's racetracks that we have on there that are circled that we can win at, and for the most part that's all of them. But there's, you know, Richmond is definitely one that we had highlighted that, you know, we should be really good at and we can contend for a win. So to be able to win two here is really special. And the thing is about winning the first race is you got the target on your back. Everyone's working hard to get better to beat you. And, you know, that really showed. We weren't the dominant car by any means, but, you know, Jason did an excellent job of tuning on that thing and getting it right at the right time. And that was kind of the story of our day. Even qualifying, we were kind of I'm not going to say mid-pack car, but I think we were 5th to 10th in each round of qualifying until the last round, and then he put the magic setup on it, and we went out there and got the pole. And kind of the same deal. You know, I was right there in the hunt, and then would fall back a little bit, and when it mattered, he put the tune-up on it.
Yeah, did he ever put the tune-up on it? That car was flying.
Yeah, he definitely drove away.
Who was it that wrecked? You showed me...
Ty Majeski.
Yeah,
the
right.
60 car.
The 60 car.
They need to just burn that number, change the number for next week. They just need to go to the number, whatever number that is available.
Yeah.
They just need to go to like the 34.
06.
The 06 or whatever. They need to go to a different number.
They got
to
change their luck.
I'm telling you what, they've tore up 24 race cars this year.
Really?
A tweet. Yeah, they've been involved in 27 accidents. And I mean... It is mind-boggling to me, and the talent level of the guys who have been behind the wheel of that thing have been absolutely through the roof. Ty Majeski, an amazing super late model racer from the Midwest, puts numbers up in everything that he gets in. He's even quick when he races for Roush and just finds himself in bad situations. Austin Cindric, Chase Briscoe.
He got turned.
Oh, he got turned, 100%. But yeah, That's the way that the 60 car has been all year of just bad luck. And, just a tough go. But if I was in the Roush camp, I would sit down Monday morning, discuss what number they should put on the entry blank and make the car that number, because they need to do something. They need to change the juju somehow, because they just keep on tearing up race cars, and big tear-ups, too. Like, they're destroying race cars.
No, that was carbon copy week over week.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Chase Briscoe and just the way he went into the inside wall, right where the safety cleaner or the safety trucks come out on the racetrack, they hit in a 45-degree angle and just twirled the car and destroyed it.
Same thing with Ty.
Yeah.
Same carbon copy.
Really tough deal. But one guy who we're running up alongside the top of the hour here, but we got to give a big shout-out to Ross Chastain. Man, the guy got an opportunity of a lifetime. We didn't talk. Obviously, the past 2 weeks we haven't talked about it because we haven't been on the air. But Ross Chastain jumping in with the Chip Ganassi camp and Chip giving him the opportunity. opportunity, and DC Solar giving them the opportunity at Darlington and Vegas, and then as well at Richmond. But he drove from the back all the way up to second spot and drove a whale of a race again. I think all three races he was in contention to win all three, and that's all you can ask a guy to do is put yourself in contention, and he ended up getting a win as well in that three. So the guy proved that he's a talented race car driver.
Yeah,
there's a million talented race car drivers, but he proved that he's up to the challenge, and I hope that earns him a spot in this sport.
Yes, I hope wholeheartedly.
The same thing can be said about Ryan Preece. He's done an amazing job this year. Same thing can be said about Kyle Benjamin. He's done an amazing job this year. And really, the list can go on and on. But talented race car drivers are available. Just the sport needs to embrace talent as opposed to money.
Yes, absolutely. Well said. But you know what? That is going to do it for Racetime Radio tonight. We want to thank you all for tuning in. Got to thank Susie here in the Racetime Radio studio. Got to thank Scotty back in the Toronto studio. And got to thank all of you for tuning in. We hope to be with you next week. If we're not, don't worry. We'll be back as soon as we possibly can. And when we are, it'll be on a Sunday night at the exact same time. So please keep us tuned in. Check us out on Twitter and on Facebook. And we'll keep you up to date as much as we can. And hopefully see you all at Ducasse Motor Speedway next weekend for the NASCAR Pindy Series. Or at, how about Eastbound? You want to check that out too, Newfoundland. We'll catch you. Have a good race week, everybody. Have a good, safe one.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.